All right. Welcome back to another episode of Nashville Talks with Taylor Jones. We appreciate you stopping in. This is a podcast about the people in Nashville, the real people, the insiders, the outsiders, the, you know what I'm saying, the right besiders. That's all. All these people are on our show, and we just want to bring you real conversations from a city where, I don't know, it's kind of on a lot of people's radar right now. So everything's not all Lower Broadway and Boots and Daisy Dukes and that whole thing. So I hope to bring some light on that. We're going to laugh a little bit today. I hope y'all are ready. We've been laughing already since before the show started. Talking about dropping $1,000 microphones and stuff.
Yeah, well.
It happens, don't it?
It happens.
My good buddy Aaron Raytier is on the podcast today. Thank you for coming in, brother.
Thanks for having me.
Dude, I've been looking forward to this for a while. I remember we did one years ago with the whole band, and it was like the funniest podcast we ever did. So I hope some of these people probably listen to that one. And you're getting another dose of it today. 6 years later. So
we're still here.
We're still here. Bro, that's half the battle, isn't it?
That says it. That's right there. We're still here.
Lightning hasn't hit us yet. So
it's tried.
It's tried. You just got to, anytime you see lightning hit a place, just go stand right there.
Yeah.
That's my rule.
Good for a little while.
Yes.
Yeah.
So before I lose my train of thought, what are we doing here today? Ian, what's been going on, man, producer?
It's just been a little bit of a rainy week since we always kind of start with weather.
Oh, gosh. The rain is here. Yeah. We do start with the weather. The wind has blown all my porch furniture off the porch, and I've had to go get it, and I had to get my grandmother's porch furniture as well. And went over there today, and she's like, can you get mine? Yeah, I know. I've been getting mine all weekend. Let me go ahead and get yours. So, okay, I got a story today, which we try to start each show off with a little, chance to laugh at the misfortune of others, usually us. So the other day, I was driving down the road. Well, I was actually in a shotgun seat. Bruno was driving. And we were going to a friend's Christmas party. And the ladies were in the back. Kyla and Katie were in the back. And to shorten this up, somehow I stuck my phone in a cup of water. Bottom first, just floating. Didn't even know it. I promise you, there's about an inch of water in the bottom of it. And For the life of me, I did not see myself do it. I did not notice it when I picked it up. Nothing. So, we go inside the house. And now, well, mind you, we had about an hour's drive each way. So, I didn't even look at my phone the whole time I was in the car, really. And I got to the house, and I noticed my pocket was wet. My britches, my pants pocket was wet. And I couldn't figure out. I thought I had leaked something from the dish that I was carrying in, the casserole. Kyla makes broccoli casserole for all these little events we go to. It's really good. Has Ritz crackers on it. Whatever. Yeah. It's on point. And so I'm thinking, did this water or condensation or something get on the seat, or what happened for my britches to be all wet? And so I don't think nothing else of it. Stick my phone down on the table and mingling around, hanging out. 20 minutes later, I pick it up for whatever reason, and the screen is like blue. And I'm like, oh, I've never seen that screen before. And none of the buttons, it was blue, and then it would work, and then none of the buttons were working, the touch screen. So I was like, what the heck happened here? What's up with this? So I try to cut it off and cut it back on, still blue. And then I noticed, like, my hand is wet from holding it. I'm like, oh, no, that's where the water came from. And I was thinking to myself, like, well, maybe I got it wet in the bathroom somehow or whatever. And couldn't figure it out. And we get back to his car, and I see that cup of water. And I'm like, daggummit. It was right next to, because I have a bad habit of sticking my phone in a cup holder. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, that's where I always put my wallet, my phone, and keys or whatever. And I guess that's what happened. But the thing fried, it was like, you know, fried chicken grease. It was done. I tried to save it. No amount of rice or time was going to save it. It won't even boot up now. So I had to go 36 hours with no phone and try to find one on Craigslist with no phone. Okay, because that's how I do all my stuff. I don't have a computer, really. Kyla has a computer. I have an iPad that's slow. And so between the two of those things and borrowing her phone, I had to snake out a phone on Craigslist. And it turns out the guy I bought it from works for Musician's Corner, so it was kind of cool. It ended up being somebody I kind of halfway knew. So
it's problem averted.
Problem averted. $150 bucks later, I'm back in the same spot with the same phone. And being a little more careful. So, but it does have 32 gigs, whereas the other one had less, 16, 8, whatever.
So maybe more room for more junk.
More room.
That's right.
A bigger attic.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, and Taylor called me this week about the phone because I just got a job as an assistant store manager for Simply Mac store. And so he's calling me asking kind of what should I do? And of course, I kind of told him.
He said, you're basically screwed.
Yeah, pretty much. But what was funny is my first day was this last Wednesday. And not one, but two girls both came in because they'd spilled coffee on their laptops.
No.
And fried those suckers.
What's worse?
It's hard to go without your phone, but to destroy a $1,500 laptop, that's...
I'm good on that. Yeah. See, I don't let nobody near, like, the laptop. If you're drinking a tea or something, you need to put that up. That's not... I remember buying that thing. I'm still recovering.
Uh-huh.
So... But we're here to talk about. We're here to talk to my buddy Aaron Raytier. He's got a great story, and tons of them. So we're gonna just dive in. Hope we find some good ones. But Kentucky man.
Yeah, I'm from Danville.
Danville, Kentucky.
Half hour south of Lexington.
Yep, on the Bluegrass Parkway.
Yep.
Been on it a bunch.
Mm-hmm. I'm a Leo.
Do you know Ashley? Ashley Gorley, he's from Danville.
I've never met him, but I do know. I'm very familiar with the name.
He's a Danville guy.
Yeah, I need to. I'm sure we'll meet at some point.
You will. You definitely will. But I need to connect the two of you. But anyway, that's part of it. So we met in college. You were probably not in. You were in your master program probably because yeah. I was just a undergrad jabron just trying to hang out with the cool guys, and
we're the other way around probably.
No.
I tried to hang out with the cool guys.
So we met at Murfreesboro, and I never will forget it. He walks up to me and goes, man, y'all, we need to write sometime. And Aaron is Mr. Songwriter. Like, I don't think anybody has in Nashville right now is writing as many songs as you.
I bet they are.
You're a two-song-a-day man.
There's guys like that out there. With just nothing better to do with their lives, so they sit around and rhyme words all afternoon.
Rhyme
stare
words.
At bands. Yeah. For two times a day, I will stare at the fan.
At the fan.
For a long time.
Hunting
throw words into it and let it knock words right back out at me and try to catch them.
So the story goes, you got an interesting background because you went to Cornell. Like, that's legit.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I went there swimming. I was a swimmer.
So how did it come to be, of all schools to go to, that you end up going to an Ivy League school to swim?
There's not many rednecks up there swimming.
So did you get like a minority scholarship?
I kind of stood out in that aspect. One of the only rednecks in Speedos up there.
So wait, let's go, like, where did you learn to swim at? Where did you do most of your swimming growing up?
I learned to swim when I was like, my mom threw me in a pool when I was like 8 months old, I want to say. And I guess if you throw a baby in a pool like the Nirvana baby, he's just going to swim.
Yeah.
So, and it was because she can't. I think as like within the past 10 years, she's been taking swim lessons, can almost swim, but she couldn't swim. So she was just going to be convinced, sure that my sister and I could swim. And I started racing at 5 and swam for 18 years and then didn't make it to the Olympics, so I had to quit.
Really? Well, you didn't get your.
It's
weakness.
One of those sports that just stops. Like yeah. Some of those sports you can't keep going. I mean,
if you don't get the Wheaties box,
yeah. And then what do you got? Y'all, you got your pride and your ring from state.
From state.
Yeah, I made state. Yeah.
So you go to Cornell. What do you study up there, man?
History of American history.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And took a lot of history courses. And when I graduated, everyone I graduated with went to law school.
Really?
And my thing just says, they said, because they'd be like, so-and-so plans to attend Harvard Law. graduating, plans to attend Yale Law. Raytier plans to rock and roll. My grandma was kind of. Hanging the head a little bit, but
no.
All right,
you know. So you decide from there that I'm going to go.
No more school. I just, and so I didn't do no more. I was done with school for a minute. And then I realized I needed to go back to school because I was rock and rolling too hard.
Too hard?
Yeah, nothing was happening. Just a bunch of rock and roll.
Yeah.
And so I went to Murfreesboro.
Mm-hmm.
And just because mainly that was the only school in the country at the time offering a master's degree in recording engineering, which is wow. pretty much like I just looked at it like I'm going to trick somebody to give me a degree to mess around with music stuff.
And yeah.
Then if worse comes to worse, you got that degree, you know. Yeah. So you can use that. But, hey, man, haven't had to use it yet.
Haven't had to use it.
Yeah.
So now I like to hit the fast forward and rewind button. So right now, like, you've got a pretty sweet publishing deal situation, and you're writing songs every day. And, you know, I guess, do you go to the office, or where do you set up these rights to?
Yeah, or wherever, right here, or like,
yeah,
wherever the song. I think I go to the song.
Yeah.
I think I'm trying to accommodate the song.
Okay.
If you got the idea and you got the place, then we go there. If we don't really know, we'll go to, I got a little spot down on 16th, I think, 17th. We can go there. Or if it's nice, let's just go to the park, hang out. Yeah, I don't know. I like my day. I feel like my days are pretty random. That's the cool part about
not being a
writer
predictable.
Or a musician or something. Yeah, you can wake up and even if you know where you're going, you still don't know what you're doing.
Cause right.
And even if you know where you're doing, you might not know where you're going with it. You know.
Yeah, I like the unpredictability factor. I think the idea of doing the same thing every day would scare me to death.
Well, that's where that's what beat me up in school too. Is that's you know where you're gonna be in
every hour
of every week of every day for a whole semester. You could tell you exactly where you're gonna be in that. But she's okay. I say I hadn't used it. I guess I've used it because I'm not an idiot. But
so tell me this: like, what kind of a student are you? Are you the type of student that you got a real good photographic memory and you can memorize notes, or are you the type of student that like has to study notes real hard?
I call it a toilet bowl memory that I got because I just remember like what I need to know at the time, and then when there's more stuff in line to remember, I just flush what I've already got in there. In that room. So
the toilet bowl memory.
I got one of those toilet bowl memories, and I successfully forgotten most everything I've learned.
Oh my goodness!
And I can relearn it, and that's the problem with kids these days too, because they got that Google, you know. So what's the point of learning anything?
I hear that.
Look it up, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm afraid I probably would have had that same attitude because I would, you know, you're smart little kid. You're like, I could spend hours memorizing this, or we can look it up here at any moment in time. So how about I save this, you know, this space in my memory?
Man, you know, I was reading about Dwayne Allman recently, and they said that. He dropped out of school in like 9th grade or something, 10th grade. But like, he was one of the most educated people that a lot of his friends ever met, because his deal was he just read a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And he would just, he said, well, shoot, I don't have to sit through an algebra class and go to a school. I'll just read the book.
Mm-hmm.
So he taught himself algebra.
Education's free. That's the other thing you forget. And actually, man, I've been beating up the Nashville. You want to talk Nashville? Nashville
Come
Public
on, bro.
Library is amazing. I go over to Green Hills and you can get movies. You can get records. I got CDs. I have a CD player in my car still, so I check out all the CDs. I was driving around listening to all the old New Kids on the Block records last week, just seeing what if there was anything good in there, and there wasn't.
No,
I was just checking. And the public library allowed me to do that. I'll go down there and find me some new recipes and some stuff to draw, a couple comic books, read the New York Times. High five the librarian, and it's all free. And you forget that. What's the point of going to some fancy school if you got a little bit of self-drive motivation? If you can make yourself read a book, then I don't think you need to pay somebody to force you to do it.
Well, that's some good theology right there.
But most people need a little somebody to force them to do it.
Man, I don't want that.
Yeah.
I don't want none of it. But I'm with you on the Google thing. Like, I teach myself a lot of things with YouTube.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was checking out. It's weird where you get one thing leads to another.
Oh, dude.
So I was looking up filleting catfish last week.
Yeah.
You know, just because looking for a quicker way than to, like, have to skin them and everything.
Yeah.
Which there is a quicker way, and I learned it on YouTube.
What is it?
Which, are you familiar with
yeah.
taking care of catfish, yeah. you know? And we caught this whole mess of catfish, and I started cutting off the head, and then you got to get the pliers, and you got to skin it, you know, and then you got to gut it and everything. But the way they are doing it on YouTube is he takes an electric fillet knife, he just cuts the fillet right out without ever even skinning it, all the way up to the tail, but doesn't cut through the tail, flips the fillet over, and then keeps cutting and gets rid of the skin too, and he just takes the one main good fillet, and then he just trashes the rest of it.
Really?
Because I guess we're not at Armageddon yet, but it'd be good to, you know.
You don't need just to keep the good fish stuff. Eyeballs, yeah, or nothing
you
yet.
Don't have to yet.
Okay.
But so then that leads to, I mean, you sit and look at that, and you look at another video, another one. Next thing you know, you're watching like water sliding accidents. Yeah. You know?
Always.
And yeah, and then you're like, what am I doing with my life? I've been watching, man, I watched this guy one day for 2 hours. He takes a bike and he ties a piece of rope to the seat, and then he ties another piece of rope to a pole at the top of a hill, and he leans the bike against a pole, and he just sits there and waits for someone to steal it. And people do. And then the people steal it, and they start pedaling. They go down this hill, and then it hits a rope, and they go flying off, and they just destroy themselves, and they get hurt.
I'm looking at
it. I feel bad for the people. You feel like, oh, God. And then you're like, oh, but you're a bike thief. You know, lesson learned. You know, so
what kind of rope is it that they can't see?
I don't know. I mean, you think you could see it, but I guess if you're stealing a bike, you're just grabbing that thing and going. I don't know.
Hauling.
Yeah, and one of them even, he falls down, and then he attacks, they you know, they come up to him with the camera, and they're laughing at him and everything, and he's like, what the hell, you know, what the hell, you tried to, you know, like, man, you stole the bike, you were the one that stole the bike.
You failed the experiment. They have to remember they're in the wrong.
So there's plenty of good things to do with your life, but you can sit around and watch people steal bikes on YouTube all afternoon, and that's pretty entertaining, too. I don't think you're helping anything, but,
Isn't it funny how, like, there's all these great, you know, TV writers and movie writers? And I doubt there's a movie that'll hold me as tight as that will.
Man, I'd love to be a movie writer. That'd be pretty cool.
You're probably going to do it before it's over.
You got to have a lot of patience. You got to sit still, sure. I feel like. That's the thing about songs. They're right when I'm ready to start tapping my feet, I can run.
Yeah. You know,
but.
So, now, for those, I'm trying to get some background. Aaron's written a lot of songs with the Vespers, with me and Cal and Phoebe and my brother. So some of those songs, I know you wrote Sisters and Brothers, which ended up being the title cut of it. What are some more that we've written together, bro? I'm going to dial up the thing real quick. Hold on. But anyway, we've written any of those songs, when you look in the record, it says right here.
Out West.
Out West, one of my favorite ones ever that we ever did play. I'm looking it up right now so I can spout a few of them off.
It's not.
Oh, Break the Cycle.
Break the Cycle.
Yes.
It's not enough.
You wrote that with Phoebe, right?
Uh-huh.
Man, that's my favorite song on the record.
Not Enough.
Yes.
Thanks. Yeah. I love that record.
Well, I tell you, man, you and about 2,000 other people really liked it.
Hey, that's about 1,999 more than one.
Than we thought, yeah. More than the two people involved writing it. So, let's see.
What else?
Curtain. Did you write Curtain?
No.
No, I did that with Callie.
I like that.
Dadgummit.
Nashville Public Library. Man, I love that place.
There you go.
I gotta keep thinking back. Nashville's got some good stuff going on.
I couldn't even tell you where it is.
Right down at the Dairy King.
Yeah.
That's where it is.
Well, Dick Cheeseburger.
Taylor Jones for mayor.
Down there. If I can get elected in that one building.
Telling
you,
man. You should take that more serious, because we can try to dig up some dirt on you, but you're clean. You're set, man.
Yeah,
you,
they ain't got nothing
got
on me.
Nothing on you.
They got nothing
smiles,
on me.
Positive energy.
There you go.
A light in the community. Down here in Nashville, we have the Jones in our community. Y'all, come on.
Come on down. Shine a light.
Yeah.
And vote for me. Send your check to P.O. Box.
Man, I'm telling you. You could do it. You could do it.
Well, maybe so one of these days. Maybe I can make a difference that way. Because right now, I'm not making a hell of a lot of difference.
If our president can be our president, you can definitely.
You
be
know
our
what?
Mayor.
That's a heck of a point. I think the everyman is sort of making a play, getting ready to make a play.
Yeah.
We had to have the everyman billionaire first, but once we get over that phase, you know what I mean. We might get an Abe Lincoln. What do you think?
Yeah, that'd be pretty good.
That would be good. So we've got a long history together writing songs, and Aaron's partially responsible for us putting out records because he helps us get motivated to write. songs and makes it so easy for us because co-writing is kind of scary, especially when you're like self-conscious, which I think a lot of musicians can be. Do you feel like you're self-conscious?
I don't know. I just think I'm just over what people think about me, but I'm sure I do stuff something wrong.
Mm.
I don't know. Nobody's perfect, right?
No. I don't know. It's just like songwriting.
You got to be a little self-conscious, though, because you also got to make an effort to be better all the
exactly.
time.
Exactly.
You know, like if you think that everything's great that you're doing, then
probably wrong.
Or maybe you're right. I don't know. Let's hang out.
Let's see. Let's give it a shot.
if you got to figure it out, call us.
Call us on the phone. So
what about art?
What about actual art?
Visual art? You been making any of that?
Man, I'm not a very visual art person. Like, I'm not gifted in that way. You know what I mean?
See, I like drawing.
See, you're very good. You're very good.
Zen drawing, kind of, you know, more like.
If anybody out there has seen me wear that shirt that has a big screaming chimpanzee on it. Is it a chimp?
Oh, yeah.
That's
yeah.
Aaron's original piece.
Yeah.
And I wear that thing all the time.
There's some floating around.
There is. Last time I saw you, you gave us a few of them.
Yeah. So. I might have some in the car if you've worn holes in them or something.
Yeah. A fresh color?
Yeah. Yeah. A new shade of purple.
But so you're into painting, and I remember back a few years ago, you were like living by the river.
Yeah, down by the river.
Yep. And living by the river, Buffalo River.
Oh, yeah.
Remember? And we had to have a four-wheel drive to even get back there.
Yeah. Yeah, it was in Lobelville.
Yes.
About an hour and a half off 40 West,
mm-hmm.
right on the same exit, or the exit after Loretta Lynn's ranch.
Yep.
And it was great. We just canoed every day and just drank too much and should have gotten more work done. That was it. I mean, it was one of those, I look at it like time of my life where I got a lot of stuff out of my system. Like I needed to go canoeing for 2-3 weeks so that I didn't want to go canoeing for 2-3 weeks.
Okay.
You know? And I still kind of want to go canoeing for 2 or 3
Wait, so we got some funny canoe. You got some funny canoe stories, right? One of which being an Amazon River.
Oh, right? I didn't go canoeing there, but that's the only time I ever went out of the country with my old man. That's the closest thing he had to like midlife crisis. He said, "I'm going to the Amazon. You can come." And I was 16.
And you come, or you can stay.
Yeah, you can come if you want. I was like, "All right," you know. And it was just more like an adventure, not like a luxury adventure, like. Backpacking through the woods adventure, mm-hmm. which is, I mean, that's pretty luxurious, but it was something, man. The Amazon. I don't know if I'd recommend it or not. I mean,
really?
It's cool, but so is Davidson County.
Yeah.
I mean,
so is Little Harpeth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's not piranha and, you know, anaconda in the Harpeth, you know.
Oh, my gosh.
You could swim in the Harpeth.
Did y'all go down and see the river and stuff?
Well, we rode. I'm 16. So when this happened, so I'm this is
dialing
16 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah. Or is that math? What's math? 34.
Close.
18 years ago. 14 years ago. 16 years ago.
We'll figure it out. Y'all send us in the answer to questions.
What is
Nashville
34
talks?
Minus 16? That would be
18. 12. Oh gosh, I don't know.
18 years ago.
Okay, 18.
Yeah, so we flew to Quito, Ecuador, and then flew from Quito to this place called Coca. Over like, you know when you look out of an airplane and it's all ocean?
Yeah.
And it's just blue? This was all trees and jungle, so it's just green as far as you can see. I remember that being like, what in the world? And then we land on a dirt runway, and we're greeted by all these like prostitutes with leis.
What?
Because... they're all trying to get out of there or something, you know, because you can marry your way out
okay.
or something. It was very weird, very weird, you know. And okay. and there was a Ecuadorian soccer team was on the plane with us, too. So there were, like, all these people, soccer fans waiting. And then we get in a cab, which is a flatbed pickup truck with handles nailed to a piece of wood. There's no bed on it.
Oh, my
and
goodness.
And we ride down this pretty rocky road pretty fast, hanging on for dear life, down to the Napo River. And... we get on a boat in the Napo River, and it starts pouring rain. And then it rains pretty much the whole time we're there. It's the rainforest, you know. And we're in this boat with all these native Amazonian folks that are riding up the river, too. And we ride 4 hours upriver.
Upstream.
In a downpour. Yeah. All right. And then we get out and we hike 2 miles into the woods. And then we get in dugout canoes and paddle across a pond full of piranhas.
No.
And then my dad bought me a vodka. There's a vodka. I remember it. I never really had a drink or anything. We had had a lot. He was like, here's this.
Here's a calm me down.
It's time. It's time.
If
but
you can survive this.
There was this little shack out there, you know, like where we'd gotten like a place to crash, and they accommodated a roof and a blanket and some vodka.
And so did you.
And then we like bushwhacked around and like explored and saw monkeys and birds and butterflies and stuff for like a week and then came back.
Wow. So a week in the Amazon. Not your average vacation.
No. No. That's amazing. I hadn't really thought about that. Mm. Wow. Yeah. Can't take that away from me. No. I seen the Amazon, man.
You seen the piranhas jumping up.
I tell you what. I've seen it all. Now, that's the only thing. I just got to go to Canada last year selling some T-shirts. That's the first time I've been there.
Was that with Mike?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And then I've never been to Europe, but my name's pretty French.
You got to get over there.
French.
You'll fit in fine.
Yeah.
The country Frenchman. That's what they'll call you.
Watch that. Oh, ho, the ooh, la, la.
Yeah. Dude, that's going to be your next record title, the country Frenchman.
The country Frenchman. Y'all come on over. We will honky tonk all night long. There is nothing like chitlins and green beans. What's country in French? I don't know. Here in America, we do have freedom fries.
Freedom fries.
The French American who doesn't like the French.
Yes.
Or something. Yes. That people like.
Yes.
I have a problem, but I do not know what it is. Oh my gosh.
That's great. The freedom fries thing lasted for like one day, and
yeah,
I still
like
remember.
And everybody just, they was like, are you serious?
But everybody remembers it.
And they were all going to eat them. You can call them pickle fries. It doesn't matter. I mean, it's an incredible edible potato. Like, yeah, call it whatever you want. Duty fries. I still eat it.
It's the most convenient thing that there is to eat.
Oh, yeah. Fried anything.
Yeah.
Until your body's like, please, broccoli. Please.
Dude, the other day I went to McDonald's, and I swear I was like thinking about a salad while I was eating it.
I did that. I drove through and ordered a sausage biscuit and just stared at the picture of the smoothie the whole time.
When it comes down to it.
Yeah, if you come to Nashville, watch out for Jets. Jets Pizza. Oh, I drive by that place and get heartburn.
No.
I just drive by it. I just drive by it and I just get heartburn.
Oh, man. My chest.
Oh, my God.
I need a Pepsi.
It tastes wonderful in your mouth. And then once it gets past you, the back of your throat, like once it starts going down, you're done for the next 35 hours.
Yeah, maybe. I'm not going to say that that's my favorite either because
my
wife really likes it, but it ain't my thing.
Oh, man, I like Little Caesars, but
$5.
Yeah, it's $5 worth of 36 hours worth of, oh, my God.
Hey, Taylor, we've done some Little Caesars in our day.
Oh, gosh. We've been kept alive by Little Caesars before.
Hear that. Hot and ready.
Yeah, hot and right now.
Rotten heady.
Yeah. No. So tell me about, you wrote a bunch of songs on Anderson Eat with your good buddy. Y'all are like best friends. And tell me about your relationship with him and writing all those songs. Wait a minute. We got to play that song too. We forgot.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Well, say a little something about Mike, and then we'll play the song.
Well, I think he's always been a sweetheart, one of the nicest people I've ever known, and he just kind of went from dorky to cool in a short amount of time. Mm-hmm. And that was pretty much it. He's just a lovable, huggable, lanky dork that just turned into like a full grown, sexy soul singer.
Right.
Over
10 years.
Yeah. I mean, like, it was like the everybody paid attention overnight. We all knew he was great.
Oh, dude, in college.
So it's just like suddenly everybody, the world was like paying attention.
That's crazy, like, how the world works. Like,
and Nashville's been telling everybody forever, look at this guy, look at this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Anderson
EC produced our second record, Fourth Wall record as well. So when you do something like that, you're brothers.
Yeah.
For a long time.
Yeah.
You know, for life, basically. So
that's why I can call him a dork, too.
Yeah. Because you guys are like brothers for real.
Because he probably called me a dork, too. We'll talk about that later.
He'd call you something else.
Yeah, something more creative and southern.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
So this song, you helped him write Devil and Me.
Devil and Me.
And a few more. What are some more?
Keep the Fire Burning.
Yeah.
Satisfy Me.
Check out that record. What's the title of the record? Delilah.
Delilah.
Check out the record. He was nice enough to send me a vinyl copy in the mail, which
that's
was
nice.
Yeah, he's good people, man.
Yeah.
So
that's what it is. He's a great person. That's a good point too. Because I was talking to somebody about that earlier. Like, I mean, who cares? I mean, he's a great musician.
Right.
With a great voice.
Secondary
like,
though.
Serious work ethic. Like he's up and working, and nobody makes him do it. You know. And he's good looking, whatever, all that. Who cares? But he's a sweet person.
Yep. Yeah.
I mean, I know people that are better than him, and they're not nearly as nice as him.
Nope. That's a shoe. You know? Yeah, that's real.
And there's always people better than you, but you can be pretty nice enough.
That's
get
dude,
you a lot further.
That's a whole nother.
Have
sermon.
A heart, people. Have a heart.
Well, we're gonna take a second here, pause for the old cause, and play a little clip of Aaron Ratier singing right here on the couch, singing "Devil and Me," his version. Since he helped write it, and so you guys can see a little bit of that. If you haven't checked out Anderson East's record Delilah and all the other records that he's done, please do that. And read the liner notes, man. You never know who you might see in there. So right now, here it is. We're going to count it down. This is Devil and Me.
Okay, wound. There's a girl in Shelbyville, gave her life to Jesus. First Antioch Baptist Church is where her daddy preaches. She's pretty as her mama, she's only 23. She could be an angel, Lord, cause she's bringing out the devil in me, Lord. What I'm thinking, cause it's Saturday night and I'm high and I've been drinking. Come tomorrow morning across the aisle, I look over and see her smile. I bow my head and the choir sings, oh, forgive me. Bringing out the devil in me. Sundress on a willow tree, the moon's on the water. I know the Lord's been good to me. Oh, when I look at the preacher's daughter, she's my Delilah. Brings me to my knees. She could be an angel, Lord, cause she's bringing out the devil in me. Lord, forgive me for what I'm thinking, cause it's Saturday night and I'm high and I've been drinking. Come tomorrow morning across the aisle, see her smile. I bow my head and the choir sing, Lord, forgive me. She's bringing out the devil in me.
Okay, we're back. That was Mr. Aaron Ratier singing his half of Devil and Me. I hope you guys liked it. How long ago have y'all wrote that song anyway? How'd that session go?
That's 2 or 3 years ago.
Do you even remember it? You write so many songs.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, I feel like, too, most of the time, that's what I remember more about a song is where I was and what it smelled like and who I was with.
Okay.
But we wrote that with Mark Steven Jones. He's
okay.
In town. And we were on the porch. We're on the at our house on Grandview, I don't live there anymore, but they are renting a room right now.
Trying to get it filled.
Uh-huh.
So if you're in the
1219 Grandview, just go right on by there, knock on the door, say, is Scotty there?
Yeah. He's going to hate me now. He's going to hate me now.
Yeah. You know, either that or we'll just rent this room right off. We're trying to get a room going here, you know. So anybody looking for a place to stay, we'll put it right out here on the World Wide Web.
Oh, my goodness. That's for Scotty. You just He's going to kill me.
And Scotty couldn't kill anybody. Mm. But,
well, I sent one guy his way. Hopefully that'll lock it down. But if they don't, somebody else will.
Somebody will from who knows where.
Yep. You never know who you're going to live with.
Mm-hmm. Or who heard your podcast over in Norway and come knocking on the door. You never know. What were you just talking about a minute ago?
We were talking, talking about writing that song, man.
No, there was something else we were talking about.
What the heck? What were we talking about over break?
Bleeping random words on a sermon.
Yeah, because people are bleeping random words that aren't cuss words. But it's just so funny because you're trained. Your body knows.
You're like, boop.
Yeah. Somebody just dropped the F-bomb.
Yeah. You know? So have y'all seen those videos where, like, it's like, you know, press conferences with coaches and politicians and presidents and preachers and whoever, and they just... It might be a Jimmy Fallon thing where they just bleep out random words in the middle of their thing.
That's brilliant.
It's great. And you're just like, what the heck? Oh, he did not just do that. But if you just were watching it in passing, you'd be like, oh, my God.
You would totally load it. Listen to the way he's talking to this poor old lady.
You would totally buy it, you know? So, I don't know. That's a big pop for me to see that. So, too much TV over the years. But so you guys write that song on the porch at the house?
Yeah, that was a porch song.
Okay.
Porch song. I mean, so they just come out when they come out. There's one we wrote called Learning that's on the Southern Family record.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like a record with a bunch of different artists. It's not his, it's not like a Anderson East thing, but we were in a hotel in Louisville and I just didn't want to be there, so I said, I got a bus ticket to leave.
That was when you rolled out of the tour?
Yeah, and I was just like, I come up there to write, but everybody, he was in the middle of his stuff, you know, and everybody's tired, and he'd been doing radio interviews and all this stuff, and it's hard to just squeeze a song out some days, you know, you want to just, creativity, like, a lot of people say you can't force creativity, which I think you can, but you get a certain type of creativity, like, and it's not the most organic.
Mm-hmm.
Great kind. But no, I got a bus ticket and said, I'm leaving. Bus rolls in 3 hours. We gonna write this or what? And he said, Fine
then.
And we wrote it. And we would write like a line and then we'd go outside and smoke a cigarette. Which, I mean, he wouldn't, whatever. And then we'd write another line. And we kind of just go back outside and walk around and write another line. And then the last time we walked outside, I just walked all the way to the bus stop and went home. And I just never thought much of it after that. We were like, well, hell, we wrote a song. Good job, man. High five. Love you. Love you, too. See ya. No problem.
And he just...
And then, dang it if they didn't use it, that, you know? And that's just like good day at the blackjack table, if you ask me, you know?
So he probably... And it sounds crazy that Aaron would just take a notion to take a bus home, but that's perfectly normal and in your wheelhouse. And Mike probably didn't even think it was weird.
No. But I was supposed to stay another night or two, and I probably, if I had stayed another night or two, we wouldn't have written anything, and I would have just sat there, and that would have been it. So sometimes maybe it was that force, you know, sometimes that pressure, like a deadline. It's like, all right, you know, we need this. If you want this, it's going to happen now. Maybe that was what brought it out.
Must have been.
I think everybody does it different. I mean, some people take, I say two a day. Some people write two a month. Mm-hmm. But they're the most amazing things you've ever heard, and they spend lots of time on them. And that kind of writer might argue that
the guy who's
cranking out two a day is not giving the song all his energy and giving it a fair shot editing it. And there's no right answer. Again, if you have the answer, please call us.
Yeah,
here
at questions at NashvilleTalks@gmail.com.
Yeah, we have.
I need to open that.
Yeah. Heck yeah.
Or
I'll
just
send questions.
DM me on Instagram. How about that? Yeah. And then I'll send it over. I'll forward over to Ray Jarre.
Dear Taylor, I have the answer.
I have the answer to all your problems. To all your creative problems.
Yeah. Snake oil here in this.
Snake oil.
Yeah, here in this carriage. Okay. Let me go back to my carriage full of snake oil.
Snake oil and salve. Why were they always selling salve?
Salve.
Weren't they?
Salve. What's salve anyway?
I don't even know what salve is.
Why isn't it salve? Salve. My mom says salmon. And I know she knows to say salmon, but she just does it because it's tradition or something. Yeah, you know, she's not a fool. She says Colorado, too.
What?
Colorado. It's not Colorado. It's Colorado.
Cincinnati.
Get some of that Colorado salmon.
I've always called it salmon, too. It's just because it's what it reads on the paper.
Well, you mean it's not salmon?
Yep. Salmon. Salmon patties and
hey, I put a word. I used the word sachet in a song today, and that was a weird word. You know,
wait, you sung sachet?
Oh no, I was writing with this duet.
Oh,
named Walker County. They're very, very good.
Okay,
but we used the word sachet in the song, and I thought, what weird word? How do you spell sachet? Do you know off the top of your head? I had to look it up. I felt like a fool, but I'll tell you this: a 3-year-old will spell it right. That's the hint.
Okay,
I'll bet there's a C in there somewhere.
It's S-A-S-H-A-Y.
Okay. That's 3-year-old. Okay. When you said that, that's sort of a long
sachet.
Word.
Sachet. I think okay. That's what it is. I'm almost pretty sure. Unless no I just did it wrong, which, I mean, I just did math wrong live, too, so who cares?
Hey, I'm if you know Kentucky, how to spell sachet.
I got pride. I'll proudly spell things wrong and do math problems wrong all day.
If you know how to spell sachet, send it in to questions.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, that's right. Well, that's a self-confidence booster.
There you go.
Whew.
just because the definition, walk in ostentatious yet casual manner, typically with exaggerated movements of the hips
uh-huh.
and shoulders.
Uh-huh. A little swang.
I can't wait that's to see how you y'all use that word.
Swang.
That's the definition of swag right there, the swag walk.
Yeah. Now, of course, when writing songs, you typically pair a word like that to rhyme it with the next line.
Yeah.
So
what's the next
line? Yeah. What's what?
I don't know. I can't remember.
I gotta look it up.
But I could probably come up with something. Let's see. Sachet, go away. You know, sachet walking your way on out of here. Yeah. Sachet, okay.
I think that's my favorite one.
Yeah. Sachet today.
Oh, oh my goodness. We done got out of control.
Yeah.
That's what I like about it.
Words, man. They're real. They can hurt people and fix people and help people. And yeah.
That's the truth. That is the absolute truth. That's the most BS comment ever. Words can't hurt you. Sticks and stuff. That whole thing is not true.
That's right. True. Power of the pen.
Yeah, bro.
I mean, words can conquer a world.
Yeah. I mean, dude, think about this. We've all, like, taken a whipping here or there. Or got knocked down in a football game and even, like, broke your arm or whatever. All those pains are so temporary.
Yeah.
These dang words will stay with you forever.
Yeah, you remember the meanest things people have ever said to you.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember saying mean things to people, too, and regretting that stuff, too, you know, or writing stuff down, you know, like, yeah.
Yeah, that's true, man. Be careful. Be careful with your words, people.
Careful with your words. Watch what you say.
Yep.
And watch who's listening to you, because you never know. You could be sitting right there down at the Dairy Queen just telling a story about fishing and how it all went wild and just run your mouth a little too much. And the next thing. All right. I'll put my point.
We all just hanging online just waiting for
what's
the next
punchline.
Yeah, it'd be really good there.
And then I found $10
on the ground. I found a bike. And as I rode away,
it was tied to the pole. I thought it was a free bike, man. I didn't know it was your bike.
Bro, we're required viewing. Go and watch the bike stealing with the rope.
We'll see if we can find that and put it in like the link of our Instagram or something.
I wish that the worst part is that you just know they're going to wreck. And I was just like, I wish these people had on helmets. Like, if I'm going to go stealing bikes, I'm just going to walk around with a helmet. I'll just wear my own helmet. Because you don't know. Like, if you go on bikes, for all you bike thieves out there, get your own helmet. Wear a helmet. Everybody knows.
Nobody will ever suspect anything.
Yeah. I mean, even more true. What bike thief is going to wear a helmet?
Right.
Yeah. It's like, wow, that's a nice bike and a. The guy doesn't really look like that would be his, but he's got a helmet. It's probably fine.
He's got no shoes.
If he's concerned with safety, he's probably not a thief. But I don't know. Maybe thieves are concerned with safety, too.
I don't know. Well, we're going to have to land this plane. What else you got over there, producer?
I do want
to
hear just a little bit about an album that you two actually did back in college.
Oh, yeah.
If I remember correctly, you walked into the studio that day, like, we're going to record 36 songs, and whichever ones are good, we'll keep for the record.
Yeah.
Dude, we did.
Yeah. And what's we did? We did 40.
40?
40, yeah. That's what it was.
Yeah, and I had 8 hours on a student session.
On a Sunday.
Yeah, on a Sunday. And we got there 2 hours. We set up for 2 hours, and then Bruno and Taylor showed up, and Anderson showed up.
He sure did.
He played lead on it, and
that's right.
BJ Golden played lead on it. He plays for Brantley Gilbert now.
What? Yeah. All of our people are just killing it.
Yeah, and I put my notebooks out in a circle and just started yelling words and just making stuff up. And Murfreesboro Post gave it 1 out of 5 stars.
Murfreesboro Post
said it's terrible.
Would you please look up Murfreesboro Post review of
Sounds like
Ray Terror Rocks
sounds
out.
Sounds like a bunch of people. Or it sounds like he got wasted and just yelled in a microphone for 6 hours, and this halfway what happened a little bit. But, you know, it was just like, and it's my friends accommodated my insanity for a minute.
That was a blast.
I
remember that was right at the start when the Vespers were first getting started, and we did that session and had a rehearsal here that night.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so we were like,
you're like, what in the
6 world? Hours, and then.
Yeah, and then it's time to rehearse. Yeah, and I remember the whole point of this record was. That we were going to go on tour to places where people did not speak English, and they would be able to sing along because most of the songs only have 1 or 2 lines.
Oh, is that what it was?
And we were going to go to Japan, but then Fukushima happened, you know, that's kind of what held up our whole project, you know, Fukushima.
We can't plan for
radioactive meltdowns. So.
It was an experience. I think my favorite lyric from the day was "Skinny cigarettes make her head look big."
Yep, this is my favorite song on the record.
She had 7-fingered hands.
What?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Dude, and we were in there hammering the drums.
Some of the worst writing, some of the best times.
If y'all want to check out that record, it's just called Ray Tierre. It's called Rocks Out by Ray Tierre.
It's not worth buying or checking out. But if you want to, bless your heart.
Hey, we had a lot of fun.
Sometimes you got to rock out.
That's the hit. That's the single. That's a great single, though.
It lets it go. It lets it go. My throat still hurts from that.
He's like clipping the mic from 10 feet away.
It's back when, oh man, singing and screaming is the same thing, man. It's called scream singing.
Dude, you're talking almost 10 years ago now, bro.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
2010.
Yeah.
10-year anniversary tour coming up.
Oh my gosh.
In 4 years.
Oh man.
And we'll get all of our successful friends.
Hey man,
it
might be funny. Maybe we need to like book a show at some trash place like The End or something. Yep. And just play it down. Just
play it down.
Be hilarious.
I'm there. If you book that and you have somebody else play drums, I'm pissed. I'm there.
It might be good. Just a good release for everybody.
Oh,
know?
Dude.
That was my favorite part about all of it was just, you know, raucous, you know, just letting it go.
My dad still will say,
sometimes you gotta rock out.
He still says
it. He got to.
He does.
Sometimes
man.
You gotta let it go. You can't be all folk and, you know,
all
classical
the time.
Pick
we can't
all
be,
time.
You know,
I
what I'm
love
saying?
Mozart and Schubert. I don't got a problem with them boys.
We can't be polished all the time.
No.
Everything's not polished. Did you find that review or is it gone?
I couldn't find it.
Okay.
Well, if we find it, we'll overdub it right here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Those suckers. And they gave it, like, what they didn't understand. The rib was on them because they thought it was serious in a lot of ways. And they didn't understand that we were in there just screaming.
Yeah. Well, I was ready for it to be serious, but it just didn't turn out to be that serious.
I mean, those people are the worst at reviewing albums.
They say everything sucks.
I did an album with my old band, 10 Pound Hammer, and they trashed us, said, just yet another bearded mountain man singing rock and roll.
You didn't even have a beard. Did
no,
you have
the other guy.
I'm like, well, they got that wrong.
That's hilarious. Those suckers. Well, what do they like? I wonder.
Well,
if they do like it, it's probably not worth listening.
That's all right. Yanni.
Shots fired. Well, folks, I don't know where else this thing can go. We can probably do this another 3 hours.
Yeah.
But Ray Tierra's got to go. He's a professional.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. If y'all want professional advice, don't come to me. I'll point you in a direction, but I'm not sure what direction.
Man, was this be your second song for today? Are you going to?
No, I gotta go sing.
Oh, okay. Gotta go sing. He's gonna go scream and clip the mic from 10 feet away.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, I love y'all. Thanks for having me.
Thank you guys for listening to us laugh and tell funny things that happened to us in the past. We had a good time. Check out my man, like I said. Google him. See the stuff he's written on. Go see about Anderson East as well. Maybe one of these days I'll cross paths with him again and we can see if I can get him over here. Yeah. That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
But till next time, y'all. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Adios. Hey,